Good morning. I will try not to talk too much so Abby doesn't scold me. That was awesome. I've been wanting to say that to him for years. He used to say that to me all the time. Good job. I love enjoying church. It's so much fun to be here. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate y'all being here. And what a great thing. A couple things I want to say. Every one of those songs we sang, I should like stop in the middle of some of my message and sing those songs at the appropriate time. They are so good, and there is such an amazing, get my clock on there, would you? I can't talk and think at the same time. I know you know that because, what was I saying? I don't remember. I told you. I love being here. We can insert them songs in all these different places. One thing before I get started on my message, a couple things that I wanted to share with you that I think are fairly important. I challenge you to seriously consider voting this week. And that is our God. People have died to give us the privilege to do this. We are called, I believe, to participate somewhat in government and different levels for some of us, but don't let the privilege of Tuesday slip by for, you know, because we don't feel like driving out or something like that. And discover where you can find the answers to the questions that you'd like to ask some of these politicians and stuff. And just please vote wisely and do that. And the only standard I can say is the standard of the Word of God. Base a lot of your voting on that. Base all your voting on that. You might not be able to find biblical answers to everything that we face, but please do that. The other thing that I want to do is I am thrilled. I am so excited about what we're doing with ICII and I really appreciate you guys and the amount of money that you guys willingly, generously obey God and give, so that we have the opportunity to do something that I don't know of a whole lot of other churches that have the opportunity to do this, kind of in the abundance that we have. Please, thank you. I just want you to know how great that is to be part of a church that honors God in that way. And it is so exciting. So we have that chance to honor God all over the world. One of the places of the world that we just honored God in, that even though you stayed here, most of you, we just had this little light ministry trip. Just get back. When did you guys get back? 7 o'clock. Oh, well, I was thinking it was like the middle of the night. Oh, that's nothing. You guys just got back. We just, some of the people from here just went down to Dominican, participate in what God's doing down there. And they got back at 7 o'clock last night. Everything was fine, fortunately. And so I'm going to embarrass some of you. Stand if you just got back from this little light ministry trip. Because these guys, a lot of you guys supported them. We got, oh, look at this. Great. Thank you very much. Good job. Thank you for representing us there. And I'm really proud of you guys for doing that. Thank you. On the other hand, last Sunday we got the interesting news that another missions trip, thank you, that another missions trip, see, I want to be time conscious today because I'm, you know, but anyway, that had to be a lap. Oh, that was Justin. Sheesh. All right. Because I have so much to say today, I could literally just keep on going. But, you know, last Sunday, we got the news that there was another missions trip that El Portico had sponsored. Some of the people from El Portico were there. And I know there was another man that was there named Jim. And they had a, somewhere in Colombia, I think it was, they had a flat tire. The van rolled. At least two people died in that. Two people on a missions trip died on that. And what terrible, sad news to get back. And I know I actually married Jim and his wife, Nancy, so I know them. But I just want to say, when I heard about it, it's like, oh, I'm so glad that you're all back. Nothing like that happened Dominican, did it? Okay, all right. But because I know Ron and Sandy aren't here, so I didn't know. I know, they're here second service. I'm not going to try to make this light. But one of the things that went through my mind, and when in Jim, because I know Jim, a little bit better than the other people. One of the things that went through my mind is, I know this, please don't take this wrongly, I thought, what a way to die. On a missions trip? You know, what a way to die, to stand before God and to know that the last thing you were doing, you were out serving God somewhere in the world. You were out serving it. And it doesn't matter where in the world, but to die in the middle of serving God is awesome. Now, I wouldn't feel that way if it was, you know, like my child or my husband, which wouldn't be right, my wife or somebody in my family. But I think there's only one better way to go is if you're, you know, martyred, you know, and you have special place in heaven for that kind of, for those kind of people. But I just want to remember the right perspective on this. We always pray for safety on mission trips, but you know what? God is absolutely sovereign over that van. And God knew that was going to happen and allowed them to go and will use it for his good and for his glory. So praise God that people are willing to die and sacrifice their life, not just the martyrs and all the pastors. I think four of our pastors in India were martyred this year, were killed this year. This is happening all over the place, and it's coming. But proper perspective is one of the things we're talking about this morning in our 12 steps to witnessing. The proper perspective isn't like, oh, the world's over now for his family. That would be devastating. But to really thank God that he's in control of even disasters, that God is sovereign over all them things. So what I'd like to do, I'd just like to pray for, take a minute and pray for this little ministry and this little light ministry and the things they're doing down there. I want to pray for the families, the missionaries there and for the pastors in India and stuff. This is too much to get in all into the one announcement, but I just want to take a little time. So let's, you mind if we pray again? If you shake your head, yes, you mind. I'm going to pray anyway. All right, so that was a rhetorical question, but let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. What great things Bob shared with us as far as what the elders are doing and what every single one of us through them are doing in the world. Thank you for this little seemingly meaningless thing of taking an offering. But God, you are bringing people all over the world to a knowledge of you because of that little basket being passed. If all the believers in the world gave willingly and freely, God, there would be missionaries all over the place with plenty of resources to fulfill your calling. I think sometimes the giving in the United States holds ministry back, but I thank you that you can do it with or without us. It's just so much fun joining you and what you're doing and where you're working. Thank you for this little light ministries. Thank you for these people that gave up their week and didn't give it up, but enjoyed being away and having a little part in what they're doing in the Dominican Republic. I just thank you that people care about those people. Lord, and then we have some missions trips that kind of seemingly ended in disaster, but God, your will was done that day. And you will use that to bring more people to you in some way. Please, let that be a little comfort to friends and family of those that were lost. And I pray that may inspire us even more to take this message to the world before it's too late. You're an awesome God. Please give us wisdom in our participation in the United States of America, in our voting. And Lord, you are sovereign in that. I just commit that to you. Help us to love you no matter what and honor you and serve you no matter what. You're an amazing God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, got them off my mind. Now, I am excited to go. Where we're going today and next week, two more weeks on this series, where we're going today and next week, I'm really excited about because I have a lot of personal experience in this part of witnessing. Probably more experience in this part of witnessing than I should have, okay? And so we're going to be talking about a couple things. Last week, we talked about memorizing Scripture. Step 9 was memorizing Scripture. I love Psalm 119:9. The question it asks, how can a young man stay in the path of purity? How can a young woman stay in the path of purity? How can a young old person stay in the path of purity? How can we stay? You know, that's what I want to know. When my kids were growing up, I wanted to be able to tell them, how do you stay in the path of purity? I wanted to give them guidance to that. To our grandchildren, how do we stay in the path of purity? To your friends that you're growing up with, in school, out of school, on the job, how do you stay in the path of purity? And we have an entire Bible, an entire book written to us of the best way to stay in the path of purity by living according to God's word. And it is nothing to be ashamed about. Even when I share Christ with unsaved people, I still say that is the best way to share Christ. I mean, that is the best way to live according to God's word, whether you believe in God or not, to live according to God's word. And I'm telling you what, if you are serious about standing in the path of purity, which a lot of people are not, you learn and live according to God's word. In order to do that, you memorize it. You memorize some of it, not all of it. I forget what it was just yesterday, the day before. I was going through something, and I thought of a Bible verse, a word of God that was hidden in there somewhere. My memory was short. God just bubbled it to the surface right when I needed it. And it changed the way I responded. It changed the way I thought. It's living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's just not just laying down there dormant. It is ready to be used, even in my own life. So how can I keep my way pure? Jeremiah 23:29 says, I love this, my word. I'm reading it again in review because it's cool. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? The word of God is one of the greatest tools that you will ever have to share Jesus Christ. It is just an awesome tool to have. Isaiah 55:10-11, I ended with this last week. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. This is my hope in us learning God's word. This is my hope when we share the word of God, whether it's the Steps to Peace with God booklet or just out of our memory, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that comes out of my mouth that will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What does God desire? What is God's greatest desire? I've come so that what? They may have life and have it abundantly. What else? There's other things. God is not willing that any should perish. The word of God accomplishes God. He says, it will not come back to me empty or void or whatever, you know, translation, thank you, you use. It will not come back empty. It will not return empty. It will accomplish what I desire. And God desires that people know him. So, we move on to step 10. Step 10, I say I have more experience in this than a lot of people, because I know myself. Step 10 is to think properly about the gospel presentation. Why I have a lot of experiences in that is because I tend not to think properly about a gospel presentation. I tend always to get wrapped up in my old nature and what my old nature is thinking. And that's why I have been really excited to get to these next couple steps, because I think I have a lot of improper thinking about the gospel presentation. The first thing I have to remember is one of the first things we talked about before we even got to prayer, which is the first step, is Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. Man's greatest need is what? The greatest need of man is to be risen out of poverty? No, but that would really be nice. Man's greatest need is what? A relationship with the King of Kings, to know God, not a God, not Allah, not Buddha, to know Yahweh, God, the God of the Bible. That is man's greatest need. Not everybody knows that, but it is their greatest desire. We are made with a vacuum that wants to bring us to God. God is calling us. God is calling all people to him. Not everybody will respond, but God is continually calling. And man's greatest need is a relationship with Jesus Christ, but there's a way that appears right to a lot of people in India, a lot of people in the Dominican, a lot of people in Afghanistan. There's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. Ezekiel 18:20 just kind of confirms that. This is awesome. It's terrible, but it's good. And it answers other questions we're not going to talk about today. The one who sins is the one who will die. The disciples ask Jesus all the time, who sinned? Him and her father, whatever like this. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. The one who sins is the one who's going to die. And for all have sinned, right? Where's that found? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of what God wants for them. And the one who sins will die. Man's greatest need is not surfacey stuff. Man's greatest need is to know God. Otherwise, he will die for all of eternity and spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire, where they will never die but will continue in torment and agony. I'm sorry to bring about that picture, but it's just truth of God's word. Whether they think they know, whether they think they need God or not, this is their greatest need, and we know it. So what's cool about God? He provided a way of salvation, a very simple way of salvation. And if I know the truth, and if I can communicate the truth, and that's the last couple of things, to communicate a small amount of the truth, not to be a pastor, not to be a preacher or a reverend or some, you know, stand. If I know the truth and I can communicate, which every one of you has the ability to communicate, should it not cause guilt if I withhold the chance of life to people that are dying that need it? That should cause me some guilt. To know the truth, to be able to communicate it, but for whatever reason, my old nature, I don't communicate it, shame on me. Pounding the pulpit there, I'm a real preacher now. Shame on me. And for a lot of my life, I felt guilty because I know I should be sharing it, but I had all these questions in my mind. Romans 10:13-15. It's so simple. God says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. God made it as convenient and as simple as he possibly could, as simple as accepting a free gift of salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then? And then he asks the question, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? People don't believe in God all around us and all around the world. Mike and I just talked to someone the other day in McDonald's that didn't believe in God, said they're an atheist. I'll tell you that story next week. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Don't let that word scare you. God did not call you to preach. God called you to go and share the truth of the gospel. We'll share it, so don't let. But how can they unless someone speaks truth? That's preaching. How can they know? How can they call on God who they don't believe? How can they believe unless someone shares with them truth? And how can anyone preach or share truth unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know what? There's God even looks at your feet as beautiful. Isn't that nice? Some of you ladies are thinking, oh, but I have hair in my big toe. I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to say anything about Vicky's big toes. And someone over here went, oh, I'm kidding. I have hair in my big toes too, so sorry. God looks at your feet, the feet of those who all throughout the Bible needed washed. And if you wash your feet, your whole body is clean. God says, when you go and share with people that don't know, God says, even your feet are magnificently beautiful. It's just, God's just awesome in here. But the problem is, we're afraid, and here's my problem. I'm afraid of what they're going to think of me, you know? If I had to raise your hand, I don't think I'd be the only one that would raise my hand if how many of us are afraid of what people would think of us. Or sometimes it's what they'll do to us, leave us out. We won't be as popular. We won't get the promotion. We just will be laughed at. Listen to 1 Peter. Here's proper thinking. Here's proper thinking. So this is what we're talking about, proper thinking about gospel presentation. 1 Peter 3, 13 to 15. I love this. And this is people that were persecuted, but they had proper thinking. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Okay? Who's going to harm you? Now, this is talking by someone that's crucified for being good, upside down, all right? So the question is, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. How many of you ever pray, God bless this meal and bless our family? How many of you have ever used God bless me kind of words? Oh, please be more than just a thank you. I should have done it in a quiz form, okay? Then you would have raised your hand. So really, we all have a deep desire to be blessed. I mean, who has a deep desire to not be blessed, right? And God says this, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Here's proper thinking. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. And the reason I say, because I feared people's threats a lot of times in my life, and it still holds me back sometimes. I am frightened. All kinds of different reasons. We'll talk about them, and I'm frightened. God says, listen, don't fear. Peter says this. God says to Peter, don't fear their threats. Don't be frightened. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. We'll get to that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And as we're going through this, I know people are saying, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and I'm afraid, and all these questions are starting to come. I don't know if I believe it enough. I don't know if I know enough information. I don't know if I have memorized. What if they ask me? There's going to be all kinds of questions, and I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But proper thinking also, another verse Peter talks about, 1 Peter 4, 12 to 16. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Listen to this, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. See, we think completely different than God thinks. We have to start changing our thinking to match God's, or we're just going to get caught up in this world and fit into this world, and we are so much more comfortable with the world than comfortable with God. And God says, listen, if you suffer, you'll be blessed. And don't look at it. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. You know, if we were perfect Christians, we would say, I hope somebody makes fun of me. I hope when I share Jesus Christ, somebody rejects me. Because when that happens, God says, hey, look, Bob, way to go. Good job. He's on my team right there, you know. Because God's team is not going to be the popular team on this world. But when it gets to heaven, it will be the only team. But it won't be popular in this world. And just God is, it's just so cool. Rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. We can be happy on this earth, and then when God comes back, overjoyed. You're going to be too happy. What happens when you're too happy? If you're a puppy, you pee the carpet. I'm not trying to say that's what it'll be like for us. Sorry. I didn't really try to say that ahead of time. But if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, a thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler, a gossip. However, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. See, this is proper thinking. And the thing that held me back so many times and so much before is, well, what are they going to say? And I'll lose a friend and they might laugh at me and I'm nervous. What in the world? That is satanic thinking. To rejoice in these things, that's proper thinking. That's the way God. And some of us are, well, insult I can handle, it's suffering that I don't want. Well, God talks about both of them. And when that happens, the Spirit of God rests on you. Don't be ashamed of that. That's proper thinking. You know what? a United States soldier signs up to go to the military. And when a United States soldier's in the military, I've never been a United States soldier. Sometimes I wish I would have, but I've never been a U.S. soldier. But just what I'm thinking about them and knowing some of you ladies and gentlemen that were, a U.S. soldier goes to serve who? Himself and his comfort and what makes him feel good? Who do they go to serve? They go to serve the country. They go to serve God. They go to serve, hopefully it's the same. They go to serve their country. They are there to give their life. They don't say, well, I'll serve the United States as long as no one makes fun of me when I'm walking down the street in Kandahar or somewhere. As long as the U.S. military is in good standing with the rest of the world, then I'll go serve the country. But as soon as people start making fun of us and throwing rocks and bottles and bullets at us, I'm out of here. They go and they're willing to lay down their life for the country. And I wouldn't doubt, but when they're made fun of, a lot of times it raises the pride in them. Not fun, not exciting, but they are serving their master, the United States of America, during that time. And what does God say about believers? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and yourself. And I think so many believers, when it comes to sharing Christ, are serving themselves. God says, go. Don't worry, I'll be with you to the end of the world, to the end of the earth. And we say, oh, they might make fun of me. And as long as I'm comfortable as a Christian, as long as I'm getting the blessings, then I'll do what God asked me to do. As long as it makes sense to me, then I'll obey God's word. But if it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not doing it. Roy, how's that go over when the guy's under you? Say, well, that command doesn't make sense, so I'm just going to stay here. No. We're called to serve one master. And we get to make that choice while we're on earth. Who are we going to serve? We're going to serve God himself, the King of Kings? Or are we going to say, no, thank you? Because when we do that, basically we're serving ourselves. This is why I say I have a lot of experience with this, because I'm fairly good at serving myself. I'm not perfect at it, okay? I have made progress. Questions. What might be holding us back from speaking to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What may be holding us back about speaking to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay, this is workshop time. That was a real honest question. What can be holding us back? Well, I'm not asking what holds you back. What holds people back? Okay? What holds people back? Give me some things that sin, okay? Sin. How so? Okay, you got a dirty mouth at work. That's probably only you, not everybody else. Or were you talking about other people? Oh, other people. Okay. I'm sorry. I saw him at work, and he had a very clean mouth at work. No, seriously, I've heard that for a lot of people a lot of times, you know, and people that try to say something, and then people say, yeah, well, that's not what I heard you saying and stuff like that. Okay, sometimes our sin, absolutely, good one. You have a good mouth, I know that, but just anybody else, what else holds us back? Well, fear. Oh, anybody ever be held back by fear for doing what's right? You know, sure. What else? What else holds us back? Knowledge. What do you mean knowledge? You're too intelligent to share the gospel. Not intelligent enough. Not speaking for you, but other people. I've had that most of my life. I'm overcoming it at this point because I come to grips that I don't have enough knowledge. Okay, I have enough to share the gospel. But yeah, sometimes we think we have to be like the people we hear up front and stuff. I don't think, I would believe most of you guys would raise your hand when one of the things that holds us back is we don't think we know enough. And I love what Bob just said up here, you know, that little quiz. We know that. We know enough. What else? Anything else that holds us back? Rejection. Oh, sure. Rejection. Absolutely. Is it just rejection when you're younger, like when you're in junior high and high school, that you're afraid people might leave you out? Or doesn't that go away by the time you get to college or out of college? By the time you're in the workforce, you're not worried about being rejected then because we all matured and grew up, right? You just don't think about it. Oh, that's one I hadn't thought about, so I did it. I just didn't think about that one. Yeah, it's like no big deal. No biggie. It's like someday maybe. We'll see. I feel guilty today, but I won't as soon as we walk out of church. There's a lot of things. I know there's a lot more of these things. Will anyone ever respond is one I had. Will anybody, what if no one responds? What if I share Christ and they all like, uh-huh, and walk away? Then I'll feel stupid. Will they repent when I share Christ? Will they say, oh, I need that. Can you lead me to the Lord? Because Pastor Bob shared a testimony when somebody knelt down in one of his apartment buildings. I mean, come on. Will I say enough? That goes into the knowledge thing, okay? You guys came up with better ones than I did. There's a lot of questions that hold us back and paralyze our reason and our will. That just we just feel paralyzed. We want to, but we feel paralyzed. Matthew 13, 4 to 9. Very familiar passage in the Bible. Oh, man. The Bible, God gives us an example. He was scattering the seed, and some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell in good soil, where it produced a crop. You know this the idea of broadcasting seeds out on ground, and so you get these. And not all of the seeds, if you're a gardener, not for some of you guys, you can spread, you know, a whole 40-pound bag of seeds, and one piece of grass will grow, you know, and you don't have a green thumb at that point, okay? But, you know, all kinds of different reasons, you know. And Jesus explained a little bit later on in Matthew 13. I'm going to read this. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word of God, receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word of God, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word of God, understands this. This is the one who produces the crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. I want you to understand that we are called to go. We are called to share the good news with people. And one of the things that I need us to understand is not everybody is going to repent. Not everybody is going to listen. You could share Christ 50 times and no one will get saved. So it's a waste of time, right? No. We are not called to bring people to repentance. That's God's job. We are called to sow the seeds. And not all of them will take root. Not all of them will be effective the way we want them to be. It's not about closing the deal. And for a lot of my life, I would share Jesus Christ and nothing would happen. The person would say, well, that's interesting. Thanks for telling me. And off they'd go. I'd never hear another word from them. That's successful sharing Christ. Why is that successful? Because I said the right words? Because I obeyed God and I did it. I made an attempt. And so many Christ followers won't even make an attempt because we're worried. We're so held back that we don't even make an attempt. It's not about me closing the deal. It's not about me making the sale. It's not a sale. You have that video ready? I want to show you a little clip of a video, and it's worth the little bit of time. I don't know what quality it's going to be, but it has the point that I want to make. Go ahead.
What I want to talk about is evangelism, witnessing, or sharing your faith, whatever you want to call it. And when people talk about this topic, a lot of the times they like to use the metaphor of planting seeds, which we find that in the parable of the sower. We find that metaphor rooted in several of the Gospels. But I think when we actually think about the act of evangelizing or the act of witnessing, we don't think of it as just planting seeds. I think most of us think that in order to properly share our faith or properly witness to someone, we need to not only plant the seed, but we need to water the plant, we need to produce and manufacture our own sunlight, and we need to harvest it, and we need to make sure that the soil is good. We feel we need to do the entire process in one 5-minute conversation, or in one single sermon, or in one small group, or in one summer camp. But if you think of a spiritual journey on a timeline from 0 all the way to 10, 0 being completely estranged from God, no relationship with Him whatsoever, and 10 being a fully devoted follower of Christ, we seem to think that in order to evangelize, we need to bring someone from 0 to 10 like that, in one conversation, in one prayer. But I would challenge you with this. If you think about your own faith journey, and you think about all the people that helped bring you from 0 to 10, all the people who encouraged you, all the people who taught you, all the people who prayed with you, all the people who spoke into you, all the authors you read, everyone who was a part of that journey, I guarantee you it was not just one person that brought you from 0 to 10. In fact, it was probably hundreds of people, maybe even thousands. You see, the sobering truth is that you are not going to be the main character in someone else's testimony. And I know that might sound harsh, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. What I mean when I say that you're not going to be the main character in someone else's testimony, I actually think that that's a good thing. Because if you were, then they would end up worshiping you rather than the God that deserves their worship. I think at best, at most, we are called to play cameo roles in other people's testimonies, in other people's faith journeys. Rather than putting all the pressure on ourselves to bring them from 0 to 10, maybe your job is just to bring them from 2 to 3, or from 7 to 8. Maybe your job is just to help them take that next step, or maybe even from 0 to 0.5. If we return to that metaphor of planting seeds, maybe God is not calling us to be in charge and take full responsibility of the entire agricultural evangelistic process. Perhaps in this moment, in that conversation, in that sermon, your job is simply to plant a single seed, so that later on down the road, months later, years later, someone else can water it. And then months or years later, someone else can come along and provide the sunlight, and another group of people can harvest it. Perhaps we don't need to do it all ourselves. And perhaps you're not even going to be the one to plant the seed. Perhaps your only job is to begin preparing the soil. Because as we learn from the parable of the sower, if the soil is not good, the seed doesn't matter. It's not going to grow. So I hope that perhaps beginning to look at evangelism or witnessing or sharing your faith in this way, I hope that it begins to maybe take a little bit of the pressure off of us to feel like we need to bring someone the entire length of their faith journey. And I also hope that it begins to remove a few of the excuses that we use. Because it seems daunting to bring someone from 0 to 10, and it seems so daunting that most of us think, I could never do that, I'm not even going to try. But I think any of us could bring someone one step closer to God in that conversation we have, in that relationship we have, at that small group. So today, this week, and in the years to come, may you go out and play cameo roles in faith journeys all over your community. May you bring people from 2 to 3, or from 7 to 8. And may you plant seeds.
That's my turn. When I started to realize that in my life, you know what happened to me? I need to lead the whole world to Christ. When I started realizing that, it was like, oh, it was like taking that backpack of weight off and saying, I'm just a small part. I'm just called to go and share my experience. I'm called to share my a lot of knowledge or my a little of knowledge. I'm not called to go from 0 to 10. Every single one of us plays a part in other people's salvation experience. I just want, that is proper thinking about sharing Jesus Christ. And that made a huge difference in my life because I was so good at improper thinking. And it made me hold back. It made me wait for just that right time when someone would come up to me and say, "Why are you so different? Tell me, lead me to the answer." I only ever had that happen one stinking time. I wasn't even ready for that much. But just the cameo role. Just the cameo role. That is obedience to God. That is witnessing 101. That is what we're shooting for here. I just pray that, and we got some good stuff the next two, all right? And I'm so anxious. I just love this. You know why? You know why I love this message today? Because it actually takes pressure off of you. Give that calling to God and just do what He designed you to do. Don't carry the weight of everybody else's cameo role in someone's salvation. Only carry what God has designed you to do. If God has designed you for one little spot of a cameo role, a 2 to a 2.5, then that weight will fit on you and you will do well with that weight. But when you carry other people's weight, it's too much and it bogs you down. I don't know whether you're taking someone from one end to, I have no idea. All I'm saying is go home, learn some scripture, learn your testimony. Learn these things that we need to get into our minds and say, "God, I'm ready for that one little role. What is it?" And some of you guys will share such a little piece of your life that you'll think, "Well, that was nothing. I could have done that a long time ago." And some of you guys will get feedback for it. Some good, some bad, but that's blessing. If it's bad, either way, you're blessed. It's just awesome. So when you're thinking about sharing Christ, this morning I'd like you to just take all that weight off. And say, "I know what I believe. I know what God called me to do. I know these people need to hear the little bit that I had to tell them." Quietly trust yourself to Christ, and if anyone asks you why you believe as you do, or if you have any ins, take them. You don't have to close the deal, okay? Just one little thing. I think, and when I realized that, it changed the whole face of sharing Christ to me. I go home after sharing Christ, teeny weeny little bit, and I feel good. Not because I did it, just because God designed you to feel good when you do what He asked you to do. If you try to do more, if you try to, if you worry more than you should, it's weighty. If you try to share Christ more than you should, that sounds really dumb, it's heavy. It'll scare you. Take some of the rocks out of your backpack, okay? And I hate to say this because this is next week, but enjoy the opportunity to share your faith. Thoroughly enjoy it. It is so awesome. Take a minute, talk to God. And just right now while your eyes are closed, just give God back all that responsibility of making people come to know Him. Just give it back to Him. He can carry that weight. And you say, "God, I'll just keep one little seed of that weight. I know I can do this. Just, God, only give me what I can handle." And God will say, "Great, thanks for worrying about it." Now, because that whole worry, it holds us back. Now, in the freedom of the weight you're supposed to carry, go and plant seeds. Go and share little pieces of that. And when you do that, God looks at your feet and says, "They are so beautiful. Thank you for taking that one seed. That's what I designed you to do. God, you're an amazing God. You could not have made this any more designed for us and any more simple. And yeah, it's scary. It's still going to be scary. And we'll share some ways to get over that fear. But God, the weight of what I thought I had to carry is way, way heavier than the weight of what you actually designed me for. Thank you that I came to that realization, and a lot of other people have too. But help us not to carry more than we should. You're an awesome God. Thank you that we have an amazing, wonderful message, and we're blessed whether it works out good or whether it works out bad. Yeah, you just really design things in just an awesome way. Thank you for being you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have fun with this. Feel light. See ya. See you next week.